All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chedmon Aleph with the new Perek. The Tosafot over here tries to explain why it is that the Mishnah is ordered in this way. And he says, Ad hashta ayri b'din psulei ha-kodoshim. Now, in the first Perek, we dealt with Mi'ilah with regards to things that were psulim, things that are psulei ha-muktashim. Now, Mikan ve'elech ayri b'ksherim. Now we're speaking about normal processing, korbanot, that have mi'ilah in their normal course, not when something went wrong, not when there was some issue along the way. Then within that context, we have here chatat ha'ov being the first of those items. The chatat ha'ov makes sense to be placed together with the parim and israfim, usrim and israfim, because those are both items where they're not kulo la'shem, and it doesn't make so much sense that the chatat ha'ov is first. So we have to understand why it is first. Obviously, the way that it's set up in Ezum Koman, you go from kodshei kodoshim down to Kodshim Kalim. So Chatat Ha'ov clearly qualifies for Kodshei Kodashim, but it wouldn't have been the one that you picked first. And so that's what the Baalei Tosafot would explain over here. That's because Chatat Ha'ov comes before Olat Ha'ov in all places. That's the normal structure, that Chatat Ha'ov comes before Olat Ha'ov. And then Olat Ha'ov came before Olat Behema, because Olat Ha'ov is the most chamur item with regards to Mi'ilah. Because Olat Ha'ov, the entirety of the bird is subject to mi'ilah. There is no exception to that. Everything has a din of mi'ilah. By olat be'ema, the hides go to the kohanim, so there's not complete mi'ilah associated with it. So we're going here from mechamur el akal, those things that are more stringent or more subsumed in mi'ilah. They have a greater mi'ilah associated with them. So olat ha'ov was first, but chatat ha'ov comes before that. So then we move through that into the other items that are afterwards. Now, the truth is that we also have the Parim Nisrafim and Sarim Nisrafim, which are also going to be mentioned. And that's where Tosafot said he might have thought that Chatat Ha'ov belonged. But because of all of these other considerations, that's why the Mishnah set it up in this way. So now, Chatat Ha'ov, Mo'alim Ba Mishu Huktasha. Chatat Ha'ov is Kodshei Kodoshim. Therefore, the Mi'ilah begins from the moment of Haktasha. Rashi says, as soon as they're kedusha b'peh, afilu mi'ne'neh mi'mena mi'chayim. Even if he gets enough from it while it's alive, there's a din of mi'ilah. Kigon, shemachra, dotzia l'chulin, where he sells it and tries to monetize it. The problem pointed out by many is that you're unsuccessful at doing such. Even if you sell something that is kodesh, if it does not have a mum in it, and it's kadosh l'mizbeach, the kedusha doesn't leave. And therefore, there should be no issue of mi'ilah because you are unsuccessful at doing it. And therefore, many explain that the issue here has to be an issue of you get enough from it, like utilizing its feathers, or you create some mum in it that's not a disqualifying mum. That would be the problem of mi'ilah over here. Nimlika, once there is mi'lika done to it, hukshira. The word hukshira is an interesting word to be used over here. Rashi says, there's an additional level of kedusha that is devolved upon the behema, the bird that was kadosh, so that it is nifselet, that it has additional psulim because of that higher level of kedusha. So that's how Rashi says it here. Rashi in other places just simply says hukshara means it facilitates. It is a makshir in the sense of that's the trigger for this happening, not in the sense of an extra kedusha that generates the problem, but simply it is the threshold at which something happens. And that is the hipasel. At this point it has the possibility of becoming pasul from a tvul yom, mechutzer kippurim. So the tvul yom and mechutzer kippurim are individuals who are tmeim, and their tuma now can impact on this item, because the level of tuma that's associated with them and the bird now that's named Lika is subject to these tumot, because now it's no longer alive and it has, according to Rashi, a higher level of kedusha. According to the other way Rashi explained it, simply that it is now reached the point where this tuma is meaningful to it, and therefore it will be subject to tuma from being contacted, touched by its vuyom and mechusir kippurim. Tfuyum is someone who was Tamei, went to the mikveh on the final day of their Tumah, and is awaiting the sunset on that day. Mechusa Kippurim are individuals who are Tmeim, but in order to finish off their Tara process, they have to bring Korbanot. So they've already passed the threshold of their tumah. They've gone to the mikveh, they've had sunset, whatever other processes they needed to go through, they've completed, they are tohrim. The only thing left is that they are required to bring a korban, usually on the eighth day of their tahara process. And that korban makes them that they are mechutzar kippurim. They're missing that kapara, they're missing that aspect of the korbanot. They also carry with them a diminished level of tumah, but some tumah that has impact with regards to things that are kodoshim. Ubelina, and now it opens it up to the problem of lina. Bali Tosafot say over here, the lina is both lina dam and lina basar. Now lina dam simply means that the dam passes shkia, that it wasn't put on the mizbeach prior to nightfall, because on the day that the malika is done, the dam must end up on the mizbeach, because dam and aboda are only shirim during the day. If you pass that threshold of night, then you can't put it on the mizbeach anymore, and there's a problem of lina dam. With regards to linat basar, the Tosafot points out that if it is linat basar, it's in the wrong place in the Mishnah, because the next line in the Mishnah is huzatama, is the zrikat adam. Linat basar is only relevant after the hazat adam is done, because that's when it becomes mutar the kohanim, and then it has the possibility of having linat basar. So it really doesn't belong here if it is linat basar, although the Baal Tosafot suggests that maybe it is because Malika is the time trigger for determining the issue of Lina. Lina with regards to the Basar is that it has one day and one night. It's a Kodesh Kodeshim. Kodesh Kodeshim have the ability to eat in for the day that the Korban is brought and the subsequent night. That is triggered by the Malika. The Malika is what starts that count as to which day it is that is going to be the day and night. So therefore, even though Linat Basar is only relevant after Uzatama, maybe because Malika is the trigger by which it starts the daytime or picks the day on which you will start, therefore it's mentioned over here. Uzatama, the next stage is Hazat Adam. So here we had Malika, which is the equivalent of Shechita by an animal, the Malika by the bird, that has certain things that it triggers or certain problems that it opens up the Korban to, which we noted, which are issues of Tumah, issues of Lina. Now, Huzah Adam is Azat Adam, which is the equivalent of Zrikat Adam by Behemah, that also now has a set of issues that arise with the Hazat Adam. Then you are Chayavin Malav Mishum Pigul Notar Vitamei. It is the trigger for all of these items to happen. With regards to Pigul, we know from all the things that we've learned about Pigul, that until the item is processed, Kacharat, kasher, hacharat soul, until you reach the point where it's fully processed, the pigul does not take effect. And zrikat adam is that final stage in which you need to complete the pigul. So that's whether you have the makshev pigul in the zrika, or you have the makshev pigul in any one of the other abodot beforehand, and now you still need the zrikat adam, or here the hazat adam, in order to be koveya, the pigul. There is no pigul without zrikat adam by Ebeima, or without hazat adam by the chatat ov. Now, the pigul or the makshev pigul could have happened earlier, but you still need this to be completed before there actually is pigul associated with this. Notar is leftovers. Leftovers can only be once there is an ability to eat the korban. And then it can be left over past the time period in which you were able to eat it. And the hazat adam is that trigger that allows for it to be eaten or facilitates the ability of the korban to be taken by the kohanim. Vitamei, this is someone with tumata guf. Again, the way that we phrased it in the previous parak is that tamei tumata guf, if it's mechse le torim, if it's ro'oi for someone who's tahor, then it's a problem to eat it with tumata guf. But if torim can't eat it, then tumata guf doesn't add any other problem to it. It's already problematic for whatever reason you can't eat it. But tumata guf is not going to be a factor if you can't be eaten by tahorim. So that all is facilitated by the Zrikat Adam by the Behema, or over here the Hazat Adam of the Oaf, that allows for Pigul to devolve. It starts the clock for Notar, or allows there to be Notar. And for Tamei, because it's now Mutar the Torim, it creates a problem for somebody's Tamei Tumat Agu. Vein Bami'ila. And obviously the last thing that happens at the point of Hazat Adam is that you've released it from the problem of Mi'ila. Mi'ila that started at the time of Hekdesh is now released at the point of Hazat Adam, because now you've completed the mitzvot associated with this bird, And since by the Chatat Oaf, nothing else is going on the Mizbeach, it's all going to the Kohen, that's already Heter LaKohanim. Once you have Heter LaKohanim, that means that you now have taken away the problem of Mi'ilah, and that's why there is no Mi'ilah left. Now, as far as the three opinions we saw in the previous Perek, as to when Mi'ilah leaves or is removed from the Behemah, or here the Chatat Oaf, we saw that the possibility is Heter Achila, Heter Zrika, or Heter Shchita. As far as Heter Achila is concerned, then when we say over here, Huzah Dama, means literally Huzah Dama. It went on the Mizbeach, and now it's Ra'oi La'achila. According to the one who says Heter Zrika, doesn't mean that it has to be Huzah Dama, it has to be Ra'oi La'zot Dama. As long as it was Ra'oi, that would already trigger the removal of the Mi'ilah in this case. The one of Heter Shchita is a little more difficult over here because the Mishnah is saying Huzah Dama, and what does it have to do with Heter Shchita? So Tosfot over here says, according to one who says Heter Shchita, by Kodoshim, there you require Kabbalat Adam. Heter Shchita means you pass the point of Shchita, now have entered the world of Kabbalat Adam. The Shchita facilitates your ability to do Kabbalat Adam and the Avodot afterwards. That's what means Heter Shchita. But over here, where you do not have Kabbalat Adam, because by the bird acts as the kli for the dam, and there is no kli to put the Kabbalat Adam into. So therefore he says, Hachanami, the lo shayach Kabbalah. Since over here there is no din of Kabbalat Adam, Kabbe Chatato, Beinan Shei Ra'ui Lahazot. Here we'll have the same threshold as the one who says Heter Zrika. Because he says, whatever it is that Shchita facilitates, that's what Heter Shchita means. Normally, by Korban Behema, that means it facilitates the next Avodah, which is Kabbalat Adam. Here, there is no Kabbalat Adam. So the next thing after Kabbalat Adam is Hazah. So as long as it facilitates Hazat Adam, that's what makes it that the Mi'ilah goes away. So he will say the same thing as the one who says Heter Zrika, which is once it's Ra'ui, Hazat Adam, that's what removes the Mi'ilah over here. Gemara says, Tani, Hukshara Lipasel B'Tvuyom, U'mechusar Kippurim U'belina. So the Gemara here quotes that part of the Mishnah, that Malika facilitates either through an elevated status of Kedusha, or simply by the fact that the Malika is done. Now the possibility of Tuma entering into the picture for this Chatat Ov, and it says, Lipasel in, Aval Tzmuye lo. Makes a diuk out of our Mishnah that it uses the term Psul and not Tamei. We've discussed this many times throughout Shas, that the Gemara uses the term pasul and tamei to indicate the level of tuma that is associated with it. When we say pasul, that means that you're at the final level of tuma. The item can accept tuma, receive tuma, it can be ruined by it, but it cannot convey tuma. Pasul means you're at the end of the line of tuma. Tamei means that not only does the object become tamei and can receive tuma, it also can convey tuma. So what the Gemara is being medayik out of the Mishnah is that it says over here, lihi pasel b'tvoyom u'mechuzer kippurim. It says here that the korban chatat of only has the capacity to become pasul. It does not have the capacity to become tamei. That means whatever is happening here is the final level of tuma. The Gemara wants to know, matznitan mani, who's the author? Which Tana is the author of our Mishnah? The Gemara says, rabbonon hi. It has to be the rabbonon. The Tanya, we have a Tosefta in Tarot that gives us a machloket with regards to the standing of Tuma vis-a-vis Korbanot. Abba Shaul Omer, Vuyom, Tchila Lekodesh. As far as a Vuyom is concerned, he is considered to be a Tchila. Tchila, again, in the world of Tuma is a code word for Rishon LeTuma. That means that a Vuyom is a Rishon LeTuma, and therefore it would make whatever it comes into contact with Sheni the Tuma, and in Kodesh, that means that it can make a Shlishi the Kodesh, and even a Rivi'i the Kodesh, meaning that it has the capacity to make Sheni. Sheni can make a Shlishi, and a Shlishi can make a Rivi'i, because there are four levels of Tuma associated with Kodesh. In Chulin, it ends at Sheni the Tuma. Truma has three levels, and Kodesh has four levels of Tuma. So now, according to Abba Shaul, he's clearly not the author of our Mishnah, because Abba Shaul says that a Tvuyom has the status of a Rishon Tumah vis-a-vis Kodesh. That means that he clearly makes it Tamei and not Pasul. Because he creates a sheni, which can create a shlishi, which can create a revi'i. So he clearly has tuma that can be passed on and conveyed forward. Rabbi Meir Omer mitameh to kodesh uposelet tuma. According to Rabbi Meir, he is clearly a sheni the tuma, because Rabbi Meir says that he makes kodesh tameh, which means that he makes a shlishi in kodesh, which then will make a revi'i in kodesh. That's what it means, tameh, which poselet tuma. Posela the Tumah means you're at the end of the line for Tumah, which means that he's a Sheni, and the Tumah is a Shlishi. So that's what Rabbi Meir's opinion is. So you have Abba Shaul saying it's a Rishon the Tumah, vis-a-vis Kodesh at least. Rabbi Meir is saying that he's a Sheni the Tumah, both for Kodesh and Tumah, but it means by Kodesh, he makes it Tameh, by Tumah he makes it Pasul, because Tumah ends at Shlishi, whereas Kodesh continues until Revi. Just like a Tfuyom, who has in general a status of a Sheni the Tuma, which means that he has no impact in the world of Chulin, but normally by Tuma, which is a Shlishi, he will be Posel Tuma. That's what a Tfuyom. A Tfuyom vis-a-vis Tuma is Posel the Tuma and is Posel the Mashke of Tuma. So anybody who comes into contact with a Tvoyom will be classified as a Shlishi, which is Pasul by Tuma. So that would seem to indicate that the Tvoyom is a Sheni the Tuma, which is the status normally given to a Tvoyom. So you would have expected that they'd have the same opinion as Rabbi Meir. That means that it's Pasul by Tuma and Tamei by Kodesh. But that's not what the Chachamim say. Chachamim say that for Tuma, he's considered to be a Sheni the Tuma. And for Kodesh, he's considered to be a Shlishi Lituma, because the Shlishi makes a Revi, which is Pasul. And that's what they say here. With regards to Kodesh, it's only Pasul, not Tameh. That means you're at the end of the line for Kodesh. And then, obviously, they are the authors of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says Pasul. And that's the only opinion here that says that it's Tvuyom creates Psul by Kodesh. Both Abba Shaul and Rabbi Meir said that Tvuyom creates Tameh, or Tuma, by Kodesh, and therefore it would convey forward Tuma. The only Shita here that believes that the Tvuyom generates a final stage Tuma are the Chachamim, and therefore they're going to be the authors of our Mishnah. Amar Rava. Rava says, the Abba Shaul, Mala Asu B'Kodoshim, that even according to Abba Shaul, he's not saying that the Dindo Raita of a Tvoyom is that he is a Tchila, that he is a Rishon the Tuma. He acknowledges that Midoraita, that's not the case, but rather it's a Maila. That's something that the Chachamim imposed with regards to Kodoshim. Shavino the Rabbanon, Tvoyom Karishon, they elevated the status of a Tvoyom to a Rishon the Tuma for the world of Kodesh. That's not his true status, Midoraita. It was an elevated status that the Chachamim brought. Lecham Rabbi Meir, Keochel Sheni. So what Rava is pointing out is that Midoraita, everybody agrees to the position of the Chachamim. Midorabanan is the question. Did the Rabbanan elevate status of Tuma? Midorabanan, they elevated the status of Tuma. For Rabbi Meir, that means he makes it into a Rishon the Tuma for Kodesh. For Rabbi Meir, it means they made him into a Sheni with regards to Truma and with regards to Kodesh. And the Chachamim themselves say, the Rabbanan came into Daval, Kalash Tuma, Pasul Mishave, Tamei Lo Mishave. Once he went to the mikveh, we're dealing with low-level Tuma. And therefore, there's no reason to elevate the Tuma or create more Chumrot in the Tuma. This is already a diminished form of Tuma. And therefore, they left it at the Doraita level, which means Psul Mishave. It creates a Psul. It's able to be Posel items. But Tamei Lo Mishave, it does not allow the item that it comes into contact with to then convey Tuma forward. Rashi over here says, Mitarze nami matnitin. So he says here that the way the Rav is explaining it over here, you can now have all of these opinions be the authors of our Mishnah, because they all believe now that Midoraita, it is Pasul. So the Chachamim will say, Mi'ikar Adin, that's what the Mishnah is saying, speaking about. But Abba Shaul and Rabbi Meir can say, the Mishnah is speaking about Deoraita. These were the Takanot Chachamim that were instituted, and the Mishnah is not addressing that. And as Rashi explains over here, Mitar Tzanami Matnitin Devadei Tvuyom Midoraita Posel Ve'enu Tamei Ve'Rabbonon Asum Maila B'Kodoshim That's what the addition of the Chachamim was, that it raised the level of the Tumah to that beyond that of which is assumed in Midoraita. But now we no longer have to limit the scope of the authorship of our Mishnah to the Rabbonan, because it can be any one of these Chachamim. Now, Tosafot points out that from our Gemara, it sounds like a Revi in the Kodesh, according to everyone, is a Din Derabbonan and not a Din Deoraita. And that's the way that Rashi, in the first parak of Sochim by Rabbi Chanina Zkan HaKohanim, Rashi says that explicitly, that if ain ochel metame ochel, then you can't have a Revi b'Kodesh midoraita. And then that would be in consonance with what we're saying here, that the Revi in the Kodesh is only midorabbanan. And that really goes against the Gemara in Sota, which seems to indicate that Revi b'Kodesh is a kal v'chomer from Mechusrei Kippurim, and that would make it a din deoraita. The other Rebbeinu Tam there in the Gemara in Psachim says the Revi l'Kodesh is deoraita, and you can have it with etzim, third and inedible items that can convey the tumah that have kedusha and become tameh, and therefore you could have Revi l'Kodesh be deoraita. And as Tosafot says in many places, this is min ha-sugyot chodkot, and the sugya in Sota believes that Revi l'Kodesh is deoraita, whereas the Gemara here believes that Revi l'Kodesh is midrabanan. And the Gemara in Sota is really following the original position that the Gemara had here, which is that our Mishnah must be the Rabbonon, because only the Rabbonon believe that it is pasul and atameh. And that means that the questioner, or the assumption of the Gemara at first, was that these positions of Rabbi Meir, Bashaul, and Rabbonon are midoraita. And so the Gemara in Sota follows what we have here in the Havamina, that Revi b'Kodesh is a dindoraita. So now the Gemara continues and says, Huzadama chayavin. Once Hazat Adam is done, all of these other items then go into effect. So the Gemara says, Me'ilohu deleka, avalisura ika. Gemara makes the same deal he did at the last Mishnah on the previous Perek, which is that it says, Ein bo me'ila. Ein ba me'ila doesn't sound like heter gamur, it just sounds like you've lost the problem of me'ila, but there is some sort of residual isur that is associated. And that's the deal it makes. Me'ilohu deleka, avalisura ika. Ve'amai. Why is that the case? Ha, memona, the kohanimu. The bird now becomes mutar the kohanim. It is now available to the kohanim to eat. What type of isur is residual in the animal? Yes, if you take it or eat it, you're eating from kodoshim, whatever isur is associated with that, you're stealing from the kohanim, but you are not in violation of an isur that should be associated with mi'ilah. It would sound from here that if there is mitzui adam still to be done, that it would be muteret b'achila the kohanim, which, according to some, that's the case. If mitzui adam is not ma'akev, then it is muteret achila right away. There are others who say that even if you don't think mitzui adam is ma'akev, it's still a mitzvah that should be done, and there's no heter achila the kohanim until that mitzui is done. Then you would have to suggest here that there are different stages, that after azat adam, the Chatat Ov is already mutar ba'ana, but still a surah ba'achila. The mitzvah adam then releases it to be mutar ba'achila. So either we have to say that it's mutar ba'achila irrespective of the mitzvah, and that's the Gemara's question, or even if it's a surah ba'achila, it's still at least mutar ba'ana. So Amar Rabbi Chanina, so again, Rabbi Chanina gives the same answer that we saw back on Daf Zayin Amubet, le'yotzim v'Rabbi Akiva hi. It's a case that we was yotzei. According to Rabbi Akiva, Damar, Zrika Mo'elet Le'yotzei, Delav Bat Achila, that Zrika helps for removing the problem of Yotzei, meaning at least with regards to Mi'ilah, but it does not matter it to be eaten. That's what we saw again in the previous Perek. Last line of the previous Perek was exactly this issue. I'm Rabbi Chanina, Le'yotzeim, according to Rabbi Akiva, there was a little more extensive. There it says, Kiyama Rabbi Akiva Zrika Mo'elet, it helps to get rid of the Me'ilah, and the Gemara over there mentioned the Yotzei B'Sreifa, which again we discussed yesterday, the Machloket Rashi and Tosafot as to what that means with regards to the Sreifa, but obviously the Zrika of the Dam cannot remove the problem of Yotzei, and that's why it remains Asur B'Achila. But what it can remove is the Din of Me'ilah, and maybe trigger other things to come into effect. And that's what we were dealing with in the Machloket Rashi and Tosafot yesterday. And similarly over here, what we're saying is that there is a problem of Yotzei here. The Zrika Adam or the Azat Adam makes it that you now have Me'ilah removed, but now the Isser of Yotzei still remains and makes it Asur Ba'achila, And that's why there is mi'ilah removed, but there is isur achila. Now over here, it's a little more complex, because how exactly did the issue of yotze take place over here? Remember that when you're dealing with a korban or a behema, you're dealing with the body of the behema, and the dam was already in kabel into a separate utensil. So you can have the behema outside, the basar outside, with the kabbalat the dam that you need to put on the mizbeach inside. Because remember, Rav Papa made the statement that we're talking about yotze with regards to the basar, and not yotze badam. If it's yotze badam, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that it doesn't have the capacity to remove the mi'ilah. So over here, the problem is that there is no separate kabbalat adam. The goof of the chatat of is the utensil in which the dam is kept. Now, if the bird went out, so did the dam. So if the dam went out, then why does the zrika help you anymore? Because it was already yotze. How do you separate between the dam and the goof of the behema, or the goof of the bird over here, in order that you have yotze, but still have a kosher hazat adam? So that's what the Balei HaTosafot over here are speaking about. So he gives two suggestions. One suggestion is whatever dam already collected at the neck, and therefore whatever part of the behema or the bird here went out did not affect the dam, because the dam was still internally, the tzavar was still internal. Or it's a case where the portion of the bird that went out is a portion that can be cut off and not be classified as mechuser eiver, and so you can slice it off and then bring it back in and do the hazat hadam without affecting the dam, because whatever one of the limbs that went out is not going to contribute towards the dam anymore because it was sliced off. Or in the first case, all the dam already collected or pooled in the neck, whatever was yotze is not going to contribute towards the dam that's going to go on the mizbech, and it wasn't yotze. So Tosafot's coming up with scenarios of how to separate between the dam and the bird itself, where the bird is going out and yotze, the basar is yotze, but the dam is still on the inside, and then it's kosher lahazah. The last suggestion by the Balei Tosafot is brought from the Rav Rabbeinu Rechavya, who says that it's the case, or the way that the Gemara in Zvachim deals with it, is that situation is that where he did the Zrikat Adam, even though a portion of the bird went out, and therefore now there's contribution from that dam towards the Zrikat that goes on the Zbeach, nevertheless it is a kosher Zrikah, even though the Shamunit that went out got mixed in with the dam, and he put on the Mizbeach, that's considered to be Hazat Adam, which is Huzak Var, once the Hazat Adam is done already. So which means that maybe he shouldn't have done Hazat Adam, but he did do the Hazat Adam, and that Hazat Adam is considered to be a Hazak Sheira, and it's sufficiently strong enough to remove the problem. It's strong enough to remove the Mi'ilah in this case. So now, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Mitzui Chatat Ha'of, Enu Me'akev. When it comes to chatat ha'ov, the processing of chatat ha'ov is differentiated or distinct from an olat ha'ov in that it has two requirements of matnot dam. There's the hazat ha'dam, which is the blood that spurts out of the neck and lands on the lower half of the mizbeach. And then there's a separate requirement of mitzui ha'dam, which is pressing of the neck and the head area into the wall of the mizbeach to get the dam out. By the olah, you only have one of those. You only have the mitzui ha'dam. You don't have the hazah and the mitzui ha'dam. So the question is, what is the status of the mitzui adam? You have two matnot dam, like by a behema, you have the matnot dam that go mizbeach, and the shirayim that go to the yisod ha-mizbeach. So too over here, you have the azat adam that's going to hit the mizbeach, that drips down, and then you have the mitzui adam, which then drips down to the yisod. Do we view the mitzui adam as being the equivalent of putting it on the yisod or shirayim? Or is the mitzui adam a part of the ikar, part of the hazat adam, the avodat adam? Now obviously that will make a difference as to number one, whether it's ma'akev, and number two is when are you actually completed the process of the dam so that the things that the dam triggers go into effect. So Rav Huna Amarav says, mitzui chatat ha'ov einu ma'akev. It is like the shirayim going to the yisod. It's not ma'akev the korban. It's a mitzvah to do it. It's a proper way to do it, but it's not ma'akev the korban. Detani Rav huzadama. That's exactly what we have in our Mishnah, which is huzadama is the trigger for all these items. The mi'ilo goes away once you do hazat adam. Now, if mitzui adam was ma'akev, there's no way the mi'ilo goes away until you're finished. And so therefore the mitzui adam would be an absolute necessity before the mi'ilo would go away. The fact that in the Mishnah it says huzadama and the mi'ilo goes away, that's a good indication that that's what the end of the line is in terms of what's ma'akev, and mitzui is not ma'akev. And that's true of the other items that are mentioned there associated with the huzadama. Rav Ada bar Abba amar Rav, we have it now, Rav Ada bar Abba quoting Rav, instead of what Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, that mitzui chatat ha'ov me'akev, that the mitzui adam is me'akev, not only is it that the Hazat Adam is Me'akev, so is the Mitzvah Adam Me'akev. Now the problem is our Mishnah. So he says, no problem. The Tani Rav, Mitzvah Adama. He, Rav, had in his Mishnah, not Huzah Adama, but Mitzvah Adama. So meaning that not only is this an Arab Machloket about what Rav said, that Machloket also has ramifications as to what was found in the Mishnah that Rav had. Because Rav can't believe that it's Mitzvah Adama is Me'akev if the Mishnah says Huzah Adama. The only way he can do that is Giba also had a Mishnah that said Mitzvah Adama, and that's what he suggests. Tashma. So let us look at the psukim. It says, "V'iza midam achatat al kira mizbeach, v'nishab adam imatzei yisod mizbeach." Meaning, after the azat adam is done, imatzei will be squeezed al yisod mizbeach. Doesn't literally mean squeezed onto the yisod mizbeach. It means to be squeezed onto the mizbeach and below the chut ha-sikra, and then the dam will drip down towards the yisod mizbeach. And it says, "Chatat hu." Katat hu is a terminology, if you remember, from the Gemara in Zvachim and Menachot. That's a lashon of me'akev. Seems to indicate here that there's an equal with regards to the processing of the mitzvah adam. Bishma l'ramadar ba'avo, according to Rabbi Avda, that makes sense. Hanu k'tiv neshir b'dam yimatzei, katat hi, katat hu, that's found in the pasuk. So that explains why there is a lashon of ikuv here, because the mitzvah adam is me'akev. El Rav Huna, my van nishar. Why, according to Rav Huna, does it say the nishar is subject to mitzvah adam, and then it's classified as chatat hu? So why is there an ikuv associated with the mitzvah adam? He says, "Kedetanya debei Rabbi Yishmael." He holds like the brayta of Rabbi Yishmael, shim nishar, meaning that van nishar is not a tzivoy that you must do this, but rather hanishar means if there is blood left over, then this is what you do. Now, if that's the case, can't be ma'akev if it's something that's optional or something that's only there when it's v'nishar. So then, my chatat hi or chatat hu that is found in the pasuk, how do we understand the ikuv aspect of it? Aresha. That's going back on the first part of the pasuk. The pasuk began, v'izam idam ha-chatat al-kir mizbeach. Then it has, like almost in parentheses, according to this, v'nishav adam yimatzei al-sod mizbeach. If you have some leftover blood, then there is mitzvah. Then chatat hu, that's a reference to the beginning of the pasuk, was v'izami dama chatat. That's what is me'akev. Amalei revacha brei derovo the revashi, eler me'ato. Well, if you like that interpretation, gavi mincha dichtiv, what are you going to do about the korbanei mincha that are brought at the beginning of Vayikra, where it also uses the same language? And now you're going to tell me that that means that it's optional? It says, Ve'evia el bnei Aron ha-kohanim, ve'kamatz misham lo kumtso, misalta, mishamna, kol levenota. That's taking the komets off. Ve'ektir ha-kohen et azkarata mizbecha. That komets is put on the mizbeach, yishei reyach nechok la-shem. Then, va'noteret min ha-mincha, la-aron u-vanav, kodesh kodeshim yishei shem. That which is left over will be given to the kohanim. If you say that va'nishar means that which is left over, meaning it's optional, or if there is left over, then are you going to read Vanoteret the same way? Vanoteret hachinami she'imni totar. That means that also, noteret means if there is leftover. So you took the komets off, so there is a remaining part of the mincha, which is called the sherei mincha. You're telling me if there is leftover stuff from the sherei mincha, it goes to the kohanim? That can't work. V'chi teima hachinami, you're going to say, yeah, okay, if there is, there isn't. V'hatanya, don't we have a breita that says, misalta umishamna al kol levanota? Which is, again, we just read the pasuk. Kamas misham lo kumtso, misalta, doesn't say misolet, mishamna, doesn't say mishemen, al kolovanota. The addition of the salta, shamna, comes to teach you that prat, shechisra, silta, vichisra, shamna, vichisra, levonota. To tell you that if in between the time that you take the komets off and you put the komets on the mizbeach, there was a deficit in the shirayim, in the solet, the shemen, or the levona, the mincha is pasul. So you can't read by notera to be if there is leftover stuff. Because if there isn't leftover stuff, you're not putting this kometz on the mizbeach. If all the shirayim are not intact, then you're not allowed to process this mincha and continue forward. So here you took the kometz off. You tell me whatever's left over goes to the kohanim. Well, leftover means whatever happens to be left over. It doesn't mean there needs to be anything left over. If nothing's left over, totally fine. That's not true. By mincha, when you take the komets off, there's an equal by the sukim, because it says salta, shramna, and the Bonata to tell you that all of those need to be intact after the Kometz is removed. The Shirayim have to be the same way they were at the time the Kometz was removed in order for the Kometz to be put on the Mizbeach. And that shows you can't read it that way. Tosfot says, why isn't there an easy answer to this question over here and just say it? That's because you have the Pasuk of Misaltal Mishamna, Al Kol Levanota. You have a specific Pasuk that's telling you that it's Me'akev. We don't have that by the Chatat Ha'ov. So that's why it won't be Me'akev. So Tosfot says that the Chatat Hu is the same as Misaltal Mishamna. You have a Lashon of Ikuv in both places, and therefore, if you have a Lashon of Ikuv over there, and it's Me'akev in this way, then also over here, by the Chatat, it should be Me'akev in that same way. Tosfot then goes on to discuss the differences between El Teret, Vanishar, and why we're so certain that we can use them to question from one to the other. And then Tosfot, like in many other places, notes that the Gemara has another drasha to tell them that a Chisaron in the Shirayim Ben Kmitzel Akhtara is problematic, Mina Mincha, and not from this Pasuk. Nevertheless, the Gemara many times quotes one of a number of drashot, but just quotes a simple drasha, even though that's not maybe the way in the end that we learn it in other Gemarot. It's just a way to cross-reference the sugi over there and basically saying, see the sugi over there, even though this may not be the main way to learn this item out. And even though, as Tosfot points out, that in the Gemara in Menachot, that this is a machloket Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, as to whether if there's a chisaron between the kmitza and the akhtara, as to whether that's posel, over here it sounds like the Gemara has no question about the fact that if it's missing between the time of the Kometz and the time of Akhtara, that it's Psula. The Tosafot says, that machlok between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is about putting the Kometz on the Mizbeach. But even according to the one who says that he put the Kometz on the Mizbeach, will still not make the Shirayim Mutarim Ba'Achila. And that's what our Gemara is speaking about here, is that the Chitzaron makes it that the Shirayim for sure are Asurim Ba'Achila, and it is a problem that is Me'akev with regards to the Shirayim. So, Amrei Hotom Tiv Vanoteret. So over there, it says, Hanoteret, Kra Yotei Raktiv. There's an extra Vinoteret, meaning I read you one of the Psukim there in Perek Pet, Pasuk Gimel, it says, Vinoteret Minach Mancha, Laronu Banav, Kodesh Kodeshim, Yishe Hashem. Later on, in that same Parshia, it says in Pasuk Yud, Vinoteret Minach Mancha, Laronu Banav, Kodesh Kodeshim, Yishe Hashem. And we know in the world of Kodeshim, when something is repeated twice, that's the Ikuv. So Vinoteret, Hanoteret, over there is going to be read as an ikuv because it says anoteret twice. Over here by the Chatat Ha'ov, where it only says banishar once, you can interpret it to mean if there is leftover dam, not that there will be or needs to be leftover dam. So meitiv avua to Shmuel the Rav Huna. Shmuel's father asked the Rav Huna, echad Chatat Ha'ov, echad Olat Ha'ov, shemalkan umitzah daman chutz limkoman pasul. When you have Chatat Ha'ov or Olat Ha'ov, where you did Malika on them, and then you did the Mitzui Adam with a Machshava B'chutz Limkomo, Pasul, that's the din of a Machshava B'chutz Limkomo, Vein Bo Karet, and there's no Karet, because a Machshava B'chutz Lizmano is only a Lav, an Easter Lav, and not an Easter Karet, Chutz Lizmanon, if you did it with Machshava of B'chutz Lizmano, Pigo V'chayavin Alav Karet, that makes it into problematic, but not only problematic, but there is a Chiyum Karet associated with it. Now, Katani Mihat, this is a classic usage of the word Katani. Katani Mihat, in that the Mishnah that we just quoted, which says about a Chatat Ha'ov and a Olat Ha'ov, that you can create through Machshava a Psul, mentioned over there, Umitzah Daman, Mitzui Adam. When you're talking about Mitzui Dam, that's okay by Olat Ha'ov, because that's the primary Matnot Adam that are done for the Olat Ha'ov. So you have a Machshava there, it makes sense. But by Chatat Ha'ov, if you're claiming that Mitzui is not Me'akev, then it's not part of the Avodot Adam. And we know that Pigul is only relevant in the four major Avodot. Shchita, Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. And by the Oaf, the equivalent is Milika. There is no Kabbalah necessary, there's Holacha. And then there is, in the Chatat, it would be the Hazat Adam, with the equivalent of Zrika. After that point, there should be no ability to have Makshevet Psul. Yet over here, you're saying you can have a Makshev Tzul by Mitzui Adam of the Chatat, which tells you that that's still relevant to the world of Zrikat Adam of the Oaf, because you can have a Makshev Tzul. So that's his question. Tosfot over here notes that the reason that this Mishnah in particular is problematic is because here you can't change the Mitzah to Huzah. In our Mishnah, whether you had the Gersa of Hiza or Huza, you can change it to fit whichever opinion it is. And he points out that the Reisha of this Mishnah also has something that makes it sound like that Mitzah is Ma'akev, but over there you could switch it to Huza. This part of the Mishnah, you can't do that because it's mentioning Olatov and Chatatov. By Olatov, there is no din of Hazah. There's only Mitzui Adam, and therefore you have to say that it says Mitzui Adam over here, and that's why it's a question on that position of Rav Huna. Hu motiv la v'hu mefarek la. He brought the question, and he answered the question himself. Litzdadim k'doni. You have to bifurcate the din of the Mishnah, which is the Chatatov, Malika can impact in terms of Machshava, but with regards to the Mitzui Adam, that's only true by the Olatov. So Malika is referencing to both of them. If you had that Machshava, both the Olatov and Azatov, the Mitzui Adam is only a reference to the Olatov, not a reference to the Chatatov. Tana Gufa. Now the Gemara goes back to the Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel, because we have another Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel. Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel. Shimni Sharba Dam. If there is leftover dam, Vahatana debate Rabbi Shmuel Hotam Shirayim Me'akvin. So now we had the Tana debate Shmuel, which we quoted, which was, if there is blood left over, then you do the Mitzvah Dam. If there isn't, no problem. Meaning that it's not Me'akev. Yet we have another Tana debate Shmuel that says, Shirayim Me'akvin. That the Shirayim of the dam is considered to be something that is Me'akev. So Rashi over here fills you in with the missing information. Again, the Gemara assumes you know all of this and you know all of these other machlokot. It says that Plukta de Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. We have a machloket between Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva that Rabbi Shmuel says that Shirayim are Me'akvim and Rabbi Akiva says they are not Me'akev. Vama Rav Papa Mitzvei Chatatov Ika Benayu. And then Rav Papa comes along and says, everybody agrees that normally Shirayim are not Me'akev. Meaning that when you deal with any other korban, the Zrikat Adam and the Mizbeach is the Ikar Avoda, and the Shirayim are not Me'akev. So now this Machloket between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva about blood that is Me'akev with regards to Shirayim, he says is uniquely associated with Chatatov. Well, Chatatov, the Shirayim of Chatatov are what are used for the Mitzvei Hadam. You have now a position with regards to Rabbi Ishmael that Rabbi Ishmael believes Shirayim are Me'akvim. Rav Papa tells you that that's about Chatatov, or in essence, what he's saying is Mitzui is Ma'akev. If Mitzui is Ma'akev, how can you read Vanishar to be if there is blood left over? There must be blood left over, otherwise you're not processing the Korban correctly. My answer is, We have two Tanaim quoting the position of Rabbi Shmuel. Over here, it's not a big surprise, because it's Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel, which means it's debate Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel. Whether that means it's a Tana quoting the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel, or the Tana the Beit Midrash in of itself means it's Tanaim that are from his Beit Midrash are quoting Rabbi Shmuel, but they have machloket as to what his opinion is with regards to Mitzvei Adam of Chatatov, whether it is Me'akev or it's not Me'akev, and it parallels basically the machloket that we have here between Rav Huna and Rav Adar Baba as to what Rav's opinion was with regards to Shiarei Adam or the Mitzvei Adam of the Chatat, as to whether it is or it is not Me'akev. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Teh Amud Aleph.